World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We look at the New World Report for the troubles, and there are plenty. But there is a good story, and I mean to emphasize it. A spectacular photograph of the new president of Argentina, Javier Milei, looking casual in his Beatles haircut, standing next to an extremely well-known profile of Elon Musk. And what were they up to? They were wandering through the factory complex at Boca Chica, Texas, where there is constructed routinely, in an assembly line fashion, super heavy boosters, Starship to the moon, other inventions of engines and timing for the vision that Musk has had of the future, going back and forth to the moon, going back and forth to lower orbit, and colonizing Mars. And there was Milei, who is struggling in the 21st century because of the troubled economy, grinning next to Musk. Professor, I just want to stop here and say it was a delight. I don't know that Milei could have arranged such a wonderful greeting in Boca Chica, and it moves Argentina to the progressive side, the visionary side of the 21st century. In addition, the news report made it clear that Mr. Musk, always business, had discussed the huge lithium deposits in Argentina with the president of Argentina. Does this strike you as the best news we've had some time from Argentina? Thank you.
Well, this was certainly, I think, a happy news story, John. And to me, what it emphasizes is that despite the complexities of you know, the world and the region that we continue to talk about, what you have is two people who are at their heart really iconic individualists who have what they believe in and have been very clear in their messaging about that, although sometimes controversial. And so certainly there's been long an admiration between Musk and Javier Milei, you know, Musk for the individualism that Milei expresses, and certainly Milei, I think, for the technical capacity. And so I think there was a logical you know, a synergy and very, very happy exchange of views, which I understand extended to not only the notion of how you maintain the liberty and freedom of the individual, something that Milei believes in implementing technology, which is a very different vision from the vision that oftentimes Chinese companies have in taking forward AI and 5G and other technologies. But also this question of you know, future in space or future in electric vehicles. Argentina has something that Elon Musk needs, which is a lot of lithium. Elon Musk, you know, as he fights for access, not only in the car market against Chinese EV producers like BYD, but also for access to lithium. Argentina is potentially a place that could provide the lithium that Tesla, Musk's company, needs for his cars. And so I think ideologically, as well as in practical commercial terms, there was a lot of synergy that we saw. And it really reflects also what both men are about and the ability that continues to exist by inspiring through strong ideas that are expressed in unabashed, unashamed fashion.
Back home in Argentina, what President Milei will be judged for is his promise of that chainsaw. It always comes back to me when I get to this moment of summarizing what we know about Milei. The chainsaw to cut down government to size and no longer dominate the economy, leading to the inflation of more than 200% at one point, was a quote earlier this year, or maybe the end of last year. We come now to Argentina's government and a bot say inflation is easing. Shoppers aren't so sure. So the Reuters has done the service of writing a headline right up the center. Argentina's government is bullish that its measure to cool one of the world's highest inflation rates are working. Shoppers are not convinced. The nation battling, what, this says annual basis 290? I had no idea it got to 290. Down from a peak of 20, that, however, is down from a peak. And so we're looking at progress to be made going forward. The photograph accompanying this story shows a woman looking askance at the prices over fresh fruit. So, Professor, we've talked about how long Milei has, and I believe 3 months, which is coming near the end, the first 100 days. However, he has headlines that lean towards success. How do you measure so far Milei's ambitions?
Well, an important point you make, John, is that when economists measure inflation technically, it's based on a survey and in a basket of commodities, which does not capture everything and what's most important to people. So what the story, as I understand it, in Reuters was referring to is the perceptions of people that the things that they need for their everyday lives, especially groceries and things like that, still seem expensive. Indeed, although inflation came down from a 25% peak rate in December to an 11% rate in March. That's still pretty high. That's literally over 200% a year if you analyze it. And so people are feeling the pain. People are feeling the pain that utility prices since April increased, literally tripled after the subsidies were taken away. Now, the fundamentals that that Milei has produced have put Argentina on the right track. And so he's built up some foreign currency reserves. He's gotten inflation down. He's eliminated deficits, basically, by shutting down spending and transfer payments to the state. And so the fundamentals that eventually will cause the economy to grow are there. Indeed, the projection right now is that perhaps 4 to 5% is what the Argentine economy could grow this year after constricting previously. There are questions, as you pointed out, of whether Milei can prevent the people who are feeling this real economic pain from getting out in the street and trying to paralyze his government. There's also question degree to which investors will come back, and that in part will depend on a stable juridical environment. And so of concern was the fact that Milei's party, that has only about 15% of the control of the lower house of Congress and something similar in the upper house, they just lost a very important vote in the Senate, basically to ratify some executive privilege decisions that Milei had taken to deal with the crisis. Now, within the coming week or so, if they lose the vote in the lower house, then that puts some of those executive decisions in jeopardy and may force the government to do something else. And so the bottom line is that while in the numbers things are moving in a positive direction, it continues to be important, the perceptions of people in the street and their willingness to continue to go along, and also, frankly, the ability to get legislative support, which will create a juridical basis for investors wanting to come back in, because no legislation, no political stability, no investors, no jobs, and this could turn sour. Although, again, right now it's tentatively on a positive track for Argentina, which is kind of unusual and perhaps another happy story, although a tentative one.
Presumably, Milei doesn't have all allies pulling for him in the country. The defeat of Fernandez, who did not run for re-election, but in any event, the defeat of Fernandez and Kirchner points to the fact that Ms. Kirchner was the president of Argentina during this period of rising inflation. And Milei could blame it all on them, but he's not doing that. He's going to solve it. However, the Kirchneristas exist, the Peronistas exist. Do you see their activity anywhere now, or are they remaining in the background while Milei has this run of good luck?
Well, they certainly are changing their profile and not trying to present an alternative, because indeed their alternative in their many years of governance were what led the economy to the disaster that the Argentine people now feel. But what they're trying to do, though, in a more behind the scenes approach, you see the big labor federation, the CGT, you see other groups of government workers essentially trying to channel the pain that these cuts have caused. I mean, the laying off of 50,000 federal workers, the exchange rate devaluation that caused the big initial boost in inflation. And so essentially what they're trying to do, without proposing a counter policy to Milei, is to put people in the streets to pressure and bring down the government, because they understand, ironically, that if Milei succeeds in bringing prosperity to Argentina through this free market, fiscally and economically responsible approach, essentially that is, the end to this clientelistic, corporatist, Peronist approach that dominated Argentina for the better part of a century. And so, they don't have a counter proposal that is arguably credible after their experience in government, but they are in some ways, having a significant interest in not seeing Milei succeed, which is a very delicate dance right now.
And now the Kirchner connection to another story that has been hanging in the air over Argentina for decades, making it very difficult to assume the best of the country. Argentina court blames Iran for deadly 1994 bombing of Jewish center. This is fresh. A new ruling by Argentina's highest criminal court has blamed Iran for a fatal 94 attack against the Amir Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, declaring it a, quote, crime against humanity, end quote, in a decision that paves the way for victims to seek justice. Professor, we know this story has taken many turns over the years. One of them, of course, is the investigation by the prosecutor for Argentina, Mr. Nisman, who was murdered mysteriously the night before he was to give testimony. All of this doesn't connect to the unknown. It connects to the Kirchneristas when in power. Argentina is taking on Iran, Professor. At this point, with all the other problems that Argentina has, this seems extremely aggressive, although I like it, but foreign policy is not for affection. Foreign policy is for effectiveness. How do you measure this commonsensical approach to a long-delayed justice, but nonetheless tangling with an aggressor state, Iran?
Well, John, as you pointed out, I mean, although it's ironically a 30-year-old story, not so much as a political decision, but essentially the courts not being impeded in proceeding forward in this case, which has long been reviewing the evidence and finally came out and said that, this horrible attack against the Israeli Community Center, IMA, in 1994, in which 85 people were killed, which came on top of a previous attack in 1992 against the Israeli embassy, in which another 22 people were killed, that these things were related to Iran. And so also, as you alluded to, during that time, again, you'd had a growing Hezbollah presence in the region. And so it was widely believed that an Iranian diplomat by the name of Moshe Nurabani at the time had been the one who had basically run the Hezbollah agents and was connected to this. Now, this occurred when the investigations were occurring, during the 1990s and especially in the 2000s. It was actually the Kirchners who were flirting with relations with Iran at the time. They were very reluctant to have the Iranian connection come out. And so there was a lot of controversy over the lack of progress. And a very heroic prosecutor by the name of Alberto Nisman that you alluded to was passionate in trying to show the connections and bring the Iranians to justice. And then when he showed up dead, it was supposedly a suicide, but generally it was believed that he was murdered to keep him quiet. That was part of this ongoing drama. And so again, 30 years later, after substantiation of Iranian ties, etc., again it highlights that justice can sometimes work if not prevented in Argentina. It highlights that there are very real continuing threats of Hezbollah as well as Iran throughout the region, and the question of the regimes that permit at various different levels, as we saw with Venezuela, to allow that to occur. It also shows, again, that Milei, with his passionate support for Israel and the Jewish community, including his very first visit after the United States to Israel, is permitted to pledge to pursue the security of Israel in that community, something which, as we talked about before, if there is a escalation of violence with Iran and Hezbollah in the Middle East, that unfortunately also could make Argentina a target in the region for a resumption of the type of Hezbollah terrorism that we saw in these attacks in 1992 and 1994.
It strikes me to observe there's what looks to be synchronicity here. Chile accusing Venezuela of bad acting assassination, and Argentina accusing Iran of bad acting mass murder and assassination. I can't make it all match, but it does look like something's changing, Professor. To go after Iran, even via Caracas, is a fresh show of muscle out of the Americas. Are you encouraged?
I am encouraged because it shows that the question is, or at least should be, not whether it's left or right, but this idea that underpins faith in democracy in the Americas is that justice is neutral, something that we wrestle with in the United States, something that Brazil wrestles with in terms of the ongoing attacks against Jair Bolsonaro. But in the Chilean case, this idea that there was an investigation in Chile against the kidnapping and murder of Ronald Ojeda, by the Attorney General Hector Barros, the prosecutor Hector Barros, and that was allowed to proceed just in the same way that the Argentine investigation and finally the court decision regarding the responsibility of Iran, that again, legislative, judicial activity was allowed to proceed by those who provide political space for that. So the idea that the justice is allowed to proceed and is not used in a lawfare sense against one's opponent, it's encouraging. And I think it's fundamental to the continuity of democracy in the Americas that provides a level playing field and not just something in which the political winner takes the spoils and weaponizes it against opponents.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Climate Change. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.